You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. Spectre and Meltdown mitigations proceed with many successes, but some blue screen of death failures, too. Siphon looks like the souped-up VPN of choice for Iranian dissidents as that country's internet crackdown continues. Pop-up ads infest mobile devices as an old tactic finds new scope for its misapplication. Olympic phishing targets South Korean companies. China moves to stop illicit cryptocurrency miners. And is there an altcoin bubble? Sure looks like it. I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. The very large task of mitigating the speculative execution processor vulnerabilities, Spectre and Meltdown, continues with a number of successes. Apple has addressed Spectre with a fix for iOS and macOS devices. On the whole, the cooperation vendors are showing in addressing the vulnerabilities seems commendable, at least Intel thinks so, and with some reason. But problems applying the fixes offered are widely reported, as one would expect. Microsoft has pulled its fix of Spectre and Meltdown for AMD-based devices. That patch is reported to have bricked some of the machines to which it was applied. There's a general lesson here about patching. Fixing problems that have ramifications across many platforms and many applications involves complex dependencies and often unintended consequences. This is particularly true for patches that touch systems where downtime or interruption are too costly to tolerate, as in industrial process controls and similar IoT environments. So the speed with which mitigations have been pushed out is encouraging. Where Twitter was the enabling technology of Iran's failed Green Revolution of 2009, current dissenters are turning to Canadian-made Siphon, a firewall evasion app that's seen up to 700,000 downloads a day in the new year, most of them in Iran. Siphon, developed by the University of Toronto's Citizen Lab, isn't the only tool being used to circumvent Iran's filter net, but observers are tending to keep quiet about other tools, lest they blow the gaff to the regime. That regime appears to be showing some internal ambivalence toward its own response to dissent. A surge in pop-up redirect ads is troubling mobile device users. The tactic isn't new, but it's recently become very widespread and has begun infesting top-tier websites. Media outlets that depend upon ad servers for revenue are feeling a pinch and are looking for ways to pressure those services into better behavior. Concerns continue over phishing attempts during the run-up to the Winter Olympics. It appears to be a targeted campaign directed at selected South Korean companies. There's no attribution yet, but eyes are inevitably turning toward the usual suspects in Pyongyang. Researchers at security firm Ensilo recently published work outlining an exploit they've named process doppelganging. Udi Yavo is chief technology officer at Ensilo.
Microsoft added the capability to NTFS to support transactions. What this essentially means is that once you do file actions, you'll be able to easily roll them back. This is very useful, for example, for installers. When installers start putting files on disk, maybe at one point or another it may have an error, it makes it very easy to roll it back. It rolls back all the changes that were done to the file system. What we figured is what's going to happen if we create an executable, map it as executable into memory, which means it's ready to execute, and then we roll back the transaction. So essentially it means that what we see in memory, what's running, is not related to the data on disk. So if something tries to read from the disk, it will no longer read data that actually exists in memory.
So you got something on disk, and that's what you load in for your executable. And then at the, just the right moment, you execute this this function in the NTFS file system that reverts the disk back to its previous state. So from the disk's point of view, it appears as though the file never changed, and what's executing no longer matches what's on the disk. Is that correct?
Exactly. And still, even though it's no longer there, everything that tries to look at the process will see the properties of the file that resides on disk. So, for example, if you try to check its signatures, it will look okay.
Is this process something that's at the research stage for you all? Was this an original bit of research that you all did, or is this something that you've discovered that other people are using?
No, it's a research that was done entirely by us.
So there's no evidence that anyone is using this out in the wild yet for any bad things?
No, and this is also why we did not release any source code, because we don't want to make it easy to leverage at this moment.
And so in terms of evading standard AV software, how does it go about doing that? And then how can you detect this sort of thing?
It depends on when exactly the AV is doing its scanning. Most AVs do the scanning either when the file is closed or when the process is created. In both cases, it's going to be problematic because the file is no longer the original file. Some AV vendors do it from user mode process, and then it's not going to be in the context of the transaction. So this is why it's able to evade.
So is this a flaw in the NTFS file system fundamentally, or is it just someone being clever and take advantage of something that's functioning the way it was intended?
It's actually the second option. There is no type of vulnerability here and no kind of bug. It's just a way to leverage features in an unpredictable way.
That's Udi Yavo from Ensilo. You can learn more about process doppelganging on the Ensilo website. It's in their blog section. Criminals are showing sustained interest in cryptocurrency mining and hardware wallet pilferage as the altcoins' very high valuations persist. Chinese authorities appear to be preparing a crackdown on the illicit installation of currency miners in unsuspecting third parties. Miners are spreading to new mobile precincts, as they're reported to have appeared in BlackBerry sites. And the government of North Korea shows little sign of forsaking theft of cryptocurrency as a means of redressing the financial shortfalls imposed by international sanctions and an economy that produces little that anyone wants to buy. Initial coin offerings continue, and both actual businesses and regulators are giving them some attention. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is devoting some of its beefed-up cyber oversight muscle to the initial coin offering market, and there are a number of startups going the ICO route as they seek funding for growth. One of those is Telegram, the encrypted messaging startup whose service is among those currently blocked in Iran. Telegram is planning, according to TechCrunch, a multi-billion dollar ICO to put its own blockchain platform in place, complete with its own native cryptocurrency, said to represent an evolutionary advance over pioneers like Bitcoin and Ethereum. The new platform will be called TON, the Telegram Open Network, and will enable payments in the Telegram chat app and elsewhere. Founder Pavel Durov is said to be interested in the sort of independence of government control he wasn't able to attain with his earlier company, Russian social media platform VK. So, is there a bubble in altcoins? A lot of people resist saying so, some of them apparently out of the kind of pardonable but starry-eyed techno-libertarianism that seems to animate Telegram enthusiasts. But this market looks a speculative mania for the ages, one to rival tulip bulb futures, or maybe, to take a more recent bubble, subprime loan derivatives. Witness Dogecoin, named after a dog but not pronounced like dog because it came from an old meme that originated in the Homestar Runner puppet show, where Homestar Runner calls Strongbad his Doge.
You quack me up! Quack me up! That's why you're my D-O-G-E!
Your Doge? What are you talking about? I'm Strongbad!
Various others picked this up on Tumblr and elsewhere with posts that featured pictures of a Shiba Inu dog, then encounters with this particular white fluffy Doge, and then the white fluffy Doge making, as Ars Technica puts it, excited but ungrammatical declarations. We explain this because, first of all, we are a bring-your-own-dog shop here at the Cyberwire, so we're naturally attracted to news with a canine angle. But second of all, because this backstory should suggest that Dogecoin probably wasn't meant to be taken entirely seriously. Indeed, that seems to be the case. The cryptocurrency hasn't been under active development for about a year, and it was intended to be something people could goof around with until it faded naturally into oblivion. Only natural oblivion isn't in prospect. In fact, Dogecoin peaked at $2 billion this Saturday. That's billion, billion with a B, before a market correction yesterday brought it back to its current level of about $1.7 billion. Dogecoin co-founder Jackson Palmer, who really hasn't been actively involved with Dogecoin since 2015, told the altcoin news outlet CoinDesk, quote, "It says a lot about the state of the cryptocurrency space in general that a currency with a dog on it which hasn't released a software update in over 2 years has a $1 billion plus market cap," end quote. You said it, Mr. Palmer, but all things blockchain are singing to speculators nowadays. The governments of Russia and Venezuela are introducing blockchain-based fiat currencies, which seems in some ways to be missing the point, but okay. The crucial question remains, will those fiat cryptocurrencies be convertible to Dogecoin? Or maybe even Voppercoin, if you're a coin trader with the munchies? Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals.
Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Jonathan Katz. He's a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland and also director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center. Jonathan, welcome back. There's been a lot of news lately about Bitcoin mining in particular and the amount of power that it uses. And I was hoping you could just spread some light on why is that? Why is the energy use so significant for Bitcoin mining? And is it going to eventually collapse under its own weight?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And there were some reports going around a couple of weeks ago about the amount of electricity being used for Bitcoin mining and how it compares to the electricity usage of even certain countries. And fundamentally, the reason is that the Bitcoin network is secured by the computational processing being done by all the nodes in the system. And as more and more nodes are joining, as more and more people are becoming interested in Bitcoin, as more and more people want to mine Bitcoin, you see more people investing more and more effort into solving these computational puzzles that reward the miners with Bitcoin when they can find a solution. And people are worried about this. People are concerned about the amount of electricity that Bitcoin is using, and also concerned about the huge waste of this electricity, because essentially it's not doing anything useful for anybody other than allowing the people who solve the puzzle to get some reward in Bitcoin. So there's definitely a concern about that. People have been thinking about ways to design systems that don't use as much energy. Those have so far remained academic proposals. They haven't really become as popular as Bitcoin. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on, and it's a concern for how much the Bitcoin network can continue to grow in the future.
And is there any risk of these blockchain systems sort of collapsing under their own weight?
I wouldn't quite say collapsing under their own weight. I think there's always the concern that these things are a bit of a bubble. And as it becomes, I mean, we've seen this even with Bitcoin itself, that as it becomes harder and harder to solve these puzzles that underlie Bitcoin, the average user, the kind of the hobbyist who might be interested in being a Bitcoin miner for fun, is being, as it were, priced out of the marketplace. And what you have instead are people who run small businesses, essentially, where they have these huge mining farms, investing quite a lot of money, still able to turn a profit, but nevertheless, you're kind of getting rid of the small people and only leaving room for larger people who can do the mining. And there's always the risk that will eventually collapse as the average person can't get in anymore at ground level and loses interest. So there is a potential concern there.
And using a lot of electricity as they go.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I think that, you know, I think about it in terms of just the environmental impact. It's still small relative to all the other things we're doing to the planet, but it's something to think about. And the amount of electricity and consumption that's being wasted, essentially, just to keep the Bitcoin network going.
Jonathan Katz, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.